here's my thought with this, right? I think this is also kind of defines in some ways how we approach therapy, because I'm like just rogue.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe that would be something we talk about, because for me, I have no structure. I just go off of what they're saying and then we just find something beautiful.
Yeah.
And I wonder what we'll find in this. But you may not do your work in that way, and that's okay.
I think I'm kind of mixed. I think I do that in a lot of ways, but still have like some orientation that like guides like some of the questions that I ask or some of the interventions that I do in session. But
so would you call yourself like semi-structured then? Is that kind of how you would do it? Yeah,
but I'm definitely not like a purist in any way when it comes to like orientations and such.
Well, what do you think about people who ascribe and say, I'm a purist, I am pure CBT or pure something? I wish we had a camera to show your face.
Makes me cringe a little bit, yeah. Just because I think that that's, I think that's very black and white, and I don't think that that's humanity.
Mm.
I don't think that that's how humans function. Like, one thing is going to work for everybody.
Yeah, the idea versus kind of the universality of healing versus,
yes,
kind of this context dependent, right?
Yes.
So you would say that you are not a universalist. You say that everyone's pain and everyone's healing is different.
Yeah. And so I work a lot from that compassion-focused lens.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that, generally speaking, self-compassion can do a lot of healing for most people. But I also recognize that it depends on where a person is at.
Yeah.
And like timing and context. And there's so many factors that go into like where someone is at and how effective therapy can, anyway, it's not black and white.
Sure.
Like that might be where I start, but I don't know where that's going to take us.
Sure. And I'm hearing you say that I'm just going to go wherever the journey goes, but I have this framework of compassion focus. What else would you say are the other lenses that you look through?
With my personality and who I am, right? Because we can't, as psychologists, as therapists, we cannot remove ourselves from that relationship. I don't know what to call it, but
yeah,
we can't take ourselves out of the equation. And so humanistic theories fit really well with me.
Mm.
Phenomenological, like what meaning do people get from their experiences, from their pain, from their suffering?
Yeah.
A lot of like strengths perspective stuff from like my social work days definitely has carried over.
Okay. System stuff too, though, from social work days, or
some, but actually not a ton.
Really?
Like that's, yeah, that wasn't something that I like systems and object relations wasn't a ton of
sure
what like fit for me.
Mm.
More of just that like humanistic, client centered kind of perspective.
Yeah. It sounds like a nice mix, and I, in the different parts of my journey as a therapist, I would say I leaned in different kind of areas. Because when I first started, I was like, hey, purist, DBT, right? Marsha Lanahan, right?
Marsha.
Good old Ed.
She's dense. Man.
For a dialectical, it's kind of dense, right? That's the paradox, but
yeah.
I was like, hey, it's got to be skill based, right? And then coming from Washington State University, it was like, it was about social justice. It was about understanding the context and how they are within their system as a people.
Yeah.
Right. And then looking at SES. And so it was like really like ingrained in me. And naturally, I just did person centered in that sense as well.
Yeah.
But my work started to shift because it was like, yeah, I think we can do that. And I think skills are great, but I think we're missing part of their story, where you think we're missing part of their life, right? If we're like, okay, when you feel this, then you need to use this skill. It almost feels like I'm prescribing something for them to do rather than being curious about who they are and where they come from. How does that resonate with you? I'm seeing you nod your head and smile. What does that mean?
Because I think that those skill-based theories are super helpful. And I think they're a really great band-aid.
Mm.
And they don't get to roots.
Mm. Yeah. And you're saying, we can do symptom reduction.
Absolutely.
Right? And if that's what you want, let's do it. But what I'm really hearing you say is that only treats part of the problem. It doesn't help the human.
It doesn't help. I don't think that helps a true healing.
Mm. Yeah. It's temporary.
It's a band-aid.
Yeah. You like band-aids, huh? It's like the second, third time you say it's a band-aid.
But like that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
Like it's a really great temporary solution.
Right.
It's my band-aid.
Yeah. And that's why for me, I've really migrated my work into really looking at attachment as a core part of someone's template of the way that they look at life, the way that they look at themselves, given their relationship with their primary attachments. Because there's many times where I used to do my work and I would try to validate someone's anxiety. I would try to do that, which I think is an important part of the work to say, your anxiety is real. Your depression hurts. And validation, when we're not looking at attachment or when we're client-centering in that sense and only going in that way without looking at how attachment plays a role in their nervous system. And this is where the trauma lens comes in, that it becomes a biological experience of loneliness, right? Because it is the thought, but your body tells you what loneliness feels like. And that's why a lot of people will say, well, therapy doesn't work, because a lot of times folks are doing top-down regulation. In other words, they're trying to challenge thoughts. And then supposedly your body's supposed to follow suit and feel. But a lot of what's missing when we don't look at it from the trauma lens, from the attachment, in my bias, is that we end up validating people, which they need that, but not helping them to understand that this thing that they're missing, this angst that they're feeling, this worthlessness that feels raw from when they wake up in the morning. I mean, I'm just feeling sad, right, as I'm saying it.
Yeah.
This, like, visceral, I'm not good enough. That's a biological component that has been practiced over and over that can be unlearned. And the way to get there is relationally. And so what I do with that is I, yes, validate them. And then I enter as a human to say, I feel confused because I can connect with you even in your pain. And I can feel care for you. And it feels wrong almost. Not that they're wrong, but it feels inaccurate. And when we can sit in that space where they can see that I can give genuine care and love for them as a human, not for what they can do, then they begin to experience the relationship in a different way. You mean I don't have to do something for you to have care for me?
That unconditional.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it becomes an experiential piece where they look deeply and feel deeply and go, because they're using the old strategies and saying, well, how can it be? Everyone else yelled at me when I didn't get good grades.
There were conditions.
Right. Yes. There were terms of what they could do in order to feel loved and validated.
Yeah.
And what I try to recreate in my work is to build a healthy attachment with them in order for them to feel that what we experience together is healthy and that I ain't going nowhere.
A reparative experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is scary for people. Right?
Yeah.
And so when I do this work, a lot of people are like, I never felt the therapist like you. And I would argue that because they have felt in their nervous system for many years that they're not good enough, they haven't even gotten vulnerable enough, close enough. And when they can do that and create new neural pathways in their brain to go, I can be vulnerable and I can be safe. Mm-hmm. And I can attach to someone. Mm-hmm. That's more than just a skill. That's a change in life.
That's a sacred experience.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be religious or spiritual, but I think that by sacred experience, I mean that is pure healing.
Mm.
To be fully accepted without judgment as you are in this moment,
mm-hmm.
That's life-changing.
Yeah.
That's sacred.
Yeah, and how many of us honestly do that to ourselves? I mean, that's the paradox, right, of being a therapist, where you can give this experience to someone for the clinical hour,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe I might make a mistake, and then I'm like so mean to myself,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think it comes to a point in my life and in my work that I have to go, everything needs to be congruent, right? Good old Carl Rogers, right? Uncle Carl. And I think I'm working towards it, right?
Yeah.
But I struggle. And I'm homesick. And I miss my family.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't have to be the full defining experience.
Well, and that's humanity. That's what it is to be human.
Right.
We know all the things.
Right.
As therapists.
Mm.
We practice it on a daily, hourly basis,
mm-hmm.
and yet we are not perfect at these things ourselves.
Yeah.
And I love when we can join our clients in that.
Yes, you do that? You join in that way?
Yeah, or I can say, like, I know from my own personal experience that offering yourself that compassion is really hard compared to offering others that compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That non-judgmental acceptance. I know that this is easier said than done. I join you in that. I've been practicing this for years and still struggle myself.
Yeah.
We're in this together. And I think when you can just join them as a fellow human being, I think that's... Is that Yalom or is that Rogers? I can't remember. That says, like, we are, like, fellow travelers. Mm. I think it's Yalom with existentialism.
Yeah.
Like, we are fellow travelers with our clients.
Right.
And I think when we can be real... I think that allows for deeper, further connection.
Yeah. And I think one of the things as I'm hearing you talk about it, right, like, for those who are listening to this and thinking, like, what does that really mean and what does that look like for me in therapy? Like, for me, the invitation or the call of action would be come experience what it's like to sit in a space where you can connect to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and connect to another human being who's on that journey with you,
mm-hmm.
and if you can look at it in that way, it's not just for the folks who we deem as crazy or who we see as weak. We can look at that and go, wow, I can have a connective, corrective experience with someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that that's what therapy can be.
Mm.
And I think that we've come a long way, and there's such a stigma about therapy.
Yeah.
And I think that when people start to understand attachment, start to feel an unconditional love and care, a deep compassion,
mm-hmm.
that feels good. And they're like, I want more of this.
Yeah.
And then I don't think that therapy is a chore, or it's like, I think I gotta do this week.
Right.
It's like, I have clients who they say, I've never felt like someone could care for me like this.
Dang.
I've never experienced this level of empathy or compassion.
Wow.
And I often will end up just like sobbing with them. Because I'm able to say,
yeah,
that's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm heartbroken for you. That's been your life experience thus far.
Yeah.
That I don't feel like this is a chore to care about you. I don't feel like this requires, you know, more than I'm able to give you. I don't feel like you're asking too much to be cared for.
Right.
And I'm happy that you and I can share this together.
Yeah.
That is those sacred moments in therapy to me.
Right.
Is when they're able to say, oh, this is what that feels like.
Yeah.
I like this. And I deserve this.
Right.
And that can be really, like you were saying earlier, that can be really scary to open yourself up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something you've experienced
right.
thus far.
Right. Because if all of a sudden, right, you're saying, I deserve this, and for a lot of experiences in your life,
mm-hmm.
you didn't even receive love, receive affection, receive brains, it's gonna feel unnatural.
Unfamiliar,
mm-hmm.
unnatural, unknown.
Yeah.
Those are scary things.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's one of the common things I hear from my clients, that they go, it feels like a double-edged sword. I come in here
mm-hmm.
and I open up this pain box of mine and it feels so raw to me, and yet it feels so good. Sometimes I want to come and I don't want to come at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like put this as if therapy is easy or like extremely hard, but I think it's like an important thing to consider
mm-hmm.
that there is a spectrum in this, and that I would invite folks who are even curious about it to just give it a try.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't know what you can unlock.
Yeah, you don't know how much is on the other side of the unknown and how much working through that can be worth it.
Yeah.
What that can offer you.
And I would say you may not even know what pain keeps you stuck
yeah.
in the patterns that feel heavy. I actually had a supervisor once tell me, when they asked, so how are you feeling about all of the things, right? Our program is wild, right? So you do
mm-hmm.
all the courses, you do a dissertation, you do clinical work, and you might do extra things to make ends meet. And I said, I was feeling fine. And the supervisor said, maybe it's because you're so used to carrying such a heavy emotional load. And it hit me. Yeah. I was so accustomed to it. And it was an invitation for me to do my work at that moment. To go, I can carry on and be overbooked because it's part of survival.
It's a protective mechanism.
Right. the familiarity of it all.
Yeah.
Or I can take a step back and go, what needs to change? Who do I want to become? And am I going to pass this on to the kiddos in my life who see me with my nervous system unregulated,
mm-hmm.
which will teach them through their attachment with me
mm-hmm.
that their nervous system is to be activated and they're to be lived in a rushed, overbooked, anxious state and to carry too much.
This is making me think about something that I talk with clients every now and then, depending on what they're coming in for, that about how this work, this personal work that you're talking about, the work that people come into therapy to do, can feel bigger than just them, right? That's something that I have loved getting experience with, learning from Polynesian culture. It's so much, there's so much focus on those that have come before and those that come after,
mm-hmm.
right? And that we take, not take, but we gather the beautiful things that those have come come before us have given us, have taught us, have set the example, and then we make something out of that for those that come after us. And the work that we do in therapy as a client, as a patient, the work that we do individually on ourselves, that is not just for us.
Yeah.
And when we can, again, that phenomenological lens that I have, make meaning out of that, when we can bring a bigger meaning, it becomes a more important work.
Yeah.
And I think that that can make it a more motivating work when it's not just about me.
Mm.
Like, yes, I need to be better for myself. I need a healthier nervous system so I can function better. But, you know, I don't have children myself. I have a niece and three nephews. I want them to have a healthy aunt.
Mm.
I take my job as a therapist very seriously.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to be the best therapist I can be for my clients. That means I have to take care of myself.
Yeah.
It's a bigger purpose
than
just me. And that makes it more meaningful.
Yeah.
I think that that gives the pain and suffering that we go through along that journey
meaning.
Meaningful.
Mm. Yeah.
So I love what you're saying about doing it for your kids.
Well, and in the end, right, like, we all impact each other.
Amen.
And, you know, as I'm sitting with this and thinking, gosh, we could talk a full hour about this. what I really want to just invite, right, is if you felt something today as we've been talking, because I felt it in my bones, I felt it in my heart, just know that you're important. And therapists may have a different phenomenological view of things.
Yeah.
But inside there is the common factors of connection and trust. And if you can have connection with yourself and trust yourself, you can have a working relationship that will heal. And if it's not working, then I invite you to have a conversation with your therapist and say, hey, this is why it's not working for me, and maybe these are things that I've hidden in that process, and that they can have a true healing experience when we just show up in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what invitation you have for those who are listening as we've experienced what we just experienced just now in all this. What would you say?
I think I love what you said about like having a conversation with your therapist about this.
Mm.
And I think that it's really important to keep in mind that there, just like there's a broad spectrum of like ways that therapists do therapy, there's also a broad spectrum of quality of therapists.
Oh, we could talk hours about this one.
And I think it's really important for consumers of therapy to understand that if they do have that conversation with their therapist and their therapist takes that personally.
Mm. Preach, say it.
That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
That I think good therapists recognize that they are not the therapist for everyone.
Yeah.
We can't be.
No.
That's not personal.
No.
And that as a therapist, if I am not a good match for my client,
mm-hmm.
if I am not meeting their needs, if they are feeling a disconnect, I want to try and make that better.
Right.
First of all. And if that still doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
I want to get them to resources that are going to work.
Yeah.
I want to help them find a better match.
Yeah.
If it's not a good match with me.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
Yeah.
And I know that that can be a headache. That can be a frustrating part of being a consumer of therapy.
Right.
Is finding the right match or a good fit for
right.
you.
Yeah.
And it's so worth it to do that work
mm-hmm.
because when it is a good match, when it is a good fit,
mm-hmm.
that's when lives change. That's when healing happens.
Yeah.
That's when stuff, comes together. And I think that that's a process worth going through the headaches for.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm feeling a call to be an advocate for yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
To seek out what's going to be best for you because you deserve that healing.
Yeah.
You deserve that connection with a therapist.
Yeah.
That can meet you where you are.
And then I'll say, as someone who likes to challenge as well, because I agree with you, what you're saying 100%. If the therapist that you just dumped said the same thing that the therapist that you're about to dump, maybe it is something that you got to work on.
This isn't a black and white thing.
No,
right?
No, for sure.
Amen to that. And I think you have to give a therapist, and this is like part of the frustrating thing, is I think you've got to give him a couple months.
Yeah. You got to give him a little
really
bit.
Really try it out.
Yeah.
Really give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because, maybe you're part of the equation of the disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to, we've got to work it out and see. So,
yeah,
I agree with you.
We can go on forever about this.
Oh, man.
But
oh, man.
I'm sure y'all are like, oh, my God, this is like 20-something minutes. No, I don't know. I haven't been watching the clock. But that's the invitation. And if you got something out of this, let's connect about it, right? Like, comment, post it, whatever that is that we're going to do with this. I don't know where we're going to do it, but we'll drop it somewhere.
And like, ask questions.
Right.
If there are other topics that people want to hear about, we're open to that.
Yeah.
We'd love some suggestions.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's a wrap.
Wow.